Good evening. We'll call the Senate Resources Committee meeting to order. This is February 28th, 2012. Let the record reflect it's approximately 5 minutes after 6 p.m. on this Tuesday, February 28th. With us today, we have Senator Stedman and Senator French. I expect that we will soon be joined by several other senators. Certainly, I'm Senator Pascvan. And during this hearing, the Senate Resources Committee will accept public testimony on the committee substitute for Senate Bill 192, that's version /B, and it relates to the oil and gas production taxes, and also there are 18 amendments to that committee substitute. All documents the public can find are on BASIS, so if anyone wants to look for those documents, you can find them on BASIS. In the next few minutes, we will determine approximately how many people have signed up to testify either here in Juneau or at the legislative information offices around the state of Alaska. This will give me a better idea of what time limitations we might have, in other words, what we can expect this evening. We plan to be here until 8 p.m. tonight, and the committee will then take more public testimony, additional public testimony, Wednesday evening, tomorrow evening, between 6 and 8 p.m. as well. We'll start off by offering each testifier approximately 2 minutes, and so we are hoping that people can get to the point, be concise, and share their thoughts with the committee members, and we'll balance the time limit with the number of people who have signed up. So we'll start. We do appreciate the opportunity to hear from Alaskans from all across the state, but we're going to begin tonight at the Homer Legislative Information Office. Is there a Charles Davis there?
Yes, this is Charles Davis.
We can barely hear you. Say your name one more time.
Yes, my name is Charles Davis.
All right.
Or Charlie Davis.
Yeah, please state your name and affiliation, and then present your testimony. And just before we start, the record should reflect that we have Senator Giesel and Senator Egan that have joined us today. So, and also we're joined by Senator Wilikowski. So anyway, Mr. Davis, please state your name and affiliation and provide your testimony.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. My name is Charles Davis. I live here in Homer. I've also been in the oil business all of my life. My family was in the oil business when I was born almost 76 years ago. If you're going to change our oil tax laws, I hope that you'll keep in mind the fact that you do that, as you do that, we're an owner state, which is different than any other state that's going on here in the United States, and we need to act as an owner state. And myself being in oil business in Texas and Oklahoma, I have to act in my best interest, and I get way better deals dealing with these same oil companies than what the state of Alaska gets. I think we ought to change the terms of the leases that we put out. Number one, that we shouldn't we should require that anything that's found on leases that's commercially has to be produced, that you just can't shut the well in or not produce it for years and years and years and years. I would say suggest to the committee maybe 5 years, and the leases I've signed in the recent years, the last 10 years, in my family, we've inserted 3 years. They can't shut it in for more than 3 years. They have to produce the field. So, and the other thing, you know, that if the state's going to be, I just found this out recently, I think, I'm not sure the percentage, but if the state's going to be putting up 25% or 40% of the cost of the drilling programs up there, maybe we ought to have a joint venture with these oil companies. I'm involved with a joint venture with Chevron in New Mexico, and, you know, that might be the better way for Alaska to go. And one thing I would hope that you guys would be careful about, that we don't fill the pipeline up with federal oil and don't have any room for state oil. It's the state oil that we want to fill the pipeline up with. And I thank you for protecting all the current Alaskans and future Alaskans. And thank you for the great work you're doing.
Well, Mr. Davis, we do thank you for your testimony, and we welcome your opinion. And you were very concise and to the point, so we hope all people that testify are as direct as you were. So we thank you very much. We now will transition to the Kenai Legislative Information Office, Mr. Bill Warren.
Yes, sir. Senator, I'm Bill Warren. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Mr. Warren. So please state your name and affiliation and start your testimony.
I'm Bill Warren, 60-year resident, retired local 367 pipe fitters. And I'm representing Alaskans, and I welded on the TAPS line. And I know about this gas and oil right in there in it for over 50 years. I want to thank all of you for what you're doing here. You broke this code of silence. You've gotten testimony in that's the truth. And I can't congratulate you guys enough. And everywhere from the parabolic curve to the drop of our oil production to it being a long time out, how CIA, the oil companies, are for giving you relevant information to even work a tax deal. And I'm going to make this short because I only have a minute or two, and I could go on a long time, but I've been wanting a gas line for years because that is part and parcel to oil and gas exploration. We need it. The oil companies grunted when Cook Inlet run out of gas and we had to bring Independence in. They grunt over the out-of-state workers when we try to bring that up. And they grunt just about everything. And we have a governor that's an old oil man. And I'll tell you the truth, we are sick and tired of voting for Prop 3 and having a mandate for gas resource development for a decade, and it just keeps displaced and displaced and displaced, and everything but doing what we should do. I think Exxon's behind it. They don't want any competitors with their overseas endeavors. And I believe what you guys brought out was the truth, that they're harvesting, using us as a cash cow. And we need to use that elephant up there for a cash cow for our own project developments in our young state. So don't give them a penny. And I thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Warren. We do appreciate receiving your statement. It is now part of the record. All right, we'll transition to some individuals here that have signed up locally here in Juneau. We'll begin with Kevin Durling. And please, Mr. Durling, please have a seat, state your name and affiliation and your testimony.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Durling. I'm president of Petroleum Equipment and Services. It's a 30-year oil and gas service company. We bring specialty products to Alaska that may not otherwise be available because of the small size of our oil and gas industry. I've been owner for 20-plus years. I've seen a lot of changes in the industry during that time. Most of those changes, when it's been a slowdown, have been things that are out of the state's control due to manipulation in the market by market forces, high prices, low prices, and those are things that the state really cannot control. This is the first time in 30-plus years that I have seen such a dramatic reduction in activity by the legacy fields on the North Slope. The drilling is the main area that I'm involved with. I've got a drilling schedule with me this evening from one of the major operators in October of 2008. They had 10 rigs working in their legacy field. As of this morning's drilling report, they had 4 full-time and 1 part-time. That's very, very black and white information that I'm aware of. I think there's some positive things that are going on to offset that is sort of masked this decline in drilling activity. Bringing in the ACES tax credits has been a help to the industry, and I think it'll make a big difference 5, 10, 15 years down the road when we have some of the the oil shale opportunities that might not be attractive in Alaska without tax credits that people are going to pursue. But for immediate increase in production, once again, 30 years experience, I'm not an engineer, but I know sort of the school of hard knocks that you've got to have a reasonable tax environment to promote development. And one of the questions that I asked the committee to look at very closely is taxes and bracketing. If you were looking at your personal income taxes and the federal government said that you're going to pay whatever your top rate is on your first dollar that you earned every year versus a bracketed system, I think we'd have a revolt in the nation that we'd never seen the likes of. And so I think that's one of the main keys, the items that I want to bring up. It is that bracketing versus first dollar taxation is just not fair. You know, when you've got to pay high taxes on your revenue based on the first dollar, it's just not a very clear way to do it. We have, once again, seen some improvements based on the tax credits. We've seen some improvements on the investments for taxes to reimburse explorers in the Cook Inlet, and that's also made a big difference in our industry. But I think bracketing and something to reduce the current burden of taxes is very important to stimulate development on our legacy fields and to increase the throughput in the pipeline.
Thank you, Mr. Durling. We appreciate you receiving your testimony. The record should reflect we've been joined by Co-Chair Senator Wagner. And we'll now hear from Mr. Harry McDonald. He is in the room with us, so everyone listening throughout the state. Anyway, Mr. McDonald, welcome. Please name and affiliation. And
good evening. My name is Harry McDonald. I'm the CEO of Carlisle Transportation. We're a 30-plus year trucking company here in Alaska. We have 650 employees, 500 of which work in Alaska, and 150 which serve Alaska outside of Alaska, getting freight into Alaska. About half of our direct work is directly related to the North Slope here in Alaska, and it's become really obvious to me here in the last couple years that the investment in the legacy fields is not happening. I think the credits that are there are creating a lot of activity, and I'm personally not hurting for work at the moment. But I have grandkids and great-grandkids, four generations of my family here, and I really think we need to look at the long-term and balance that off with this short-term cash cow that we have going right now and get the oil company buy-in. I can't testify to the specifics of the law, not even really any specifics, but I really think we need to get something done soon that gets oil company buy-in, that gets legacy field production, and gets something done. And that's just important, and that gets done. So that's really all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDonald. We do appreciate hearing your testimony. Will Mr. Bob Stinson also hear locally?
Thank you. My name is Bob Stinson. I'm president of Con-Am Construction Company, and I also represent another company. It's a sister company of ours, Price Gregory. We've been in Alaska serving the oil and gas industry since we built part of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline in 1975 and been working on the North Slope and other areas of the state since. Our business is directly related to new production. We have built many of the pipelines on the North Slope, many of the facilities on the North Slope. When new fields are discovered and the oil companies are bringing them online, our base business, our core business, is based around that. And as Mr. Durling mentioned earlier, I've been around long enough to see it go up and down, the 80s and 90s following the oil price. So I can see, you know, how the oil companies invest and when they don't invest. And And now, with the oil prices the way they are, I don't see the investment. In fact, our business is pretty reflective of that. It's the lowest it's been since I've been in Alaska. It's hard with our equipment fleet on the North Slope, which is one of the largest on the North Slope, to be prepared to react to these projects, to find a reasonable investment strategy to renew our fleet and to make capital investments. And we haven't made any capital investments in our fleet and our assets here in 2 years, and prior to that it was $4 to $5 million a year. So I really think I can speak to what's going on, you know, from my point of view about the business that I see that's there or not there. I do have luckily been working in Cook Inlet and have built a couple of the recent pipelines down there, one for the Sings of Gas Storage and one for the Buccaneer find in Kenai. So I can attest that I'm a direct beneficiary of the tax structure in Cook Inlet and how that works. So that's really all I had to say, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stinson. I do appreciate your testimony. We'll return now to the Kenai LIO, Mr. George Pierce.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, state your name for the record and your affiliation, and we'll start your testimony.
My name is George Pierce, 23-year resident of Kasilof. I'm representing myself. I've been watching the gavel to gavel here, and I had a program on. You guys had a program on that discussed Norway. First of all, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for trying to save us from this house takeover. It's ridiculous what the house is proposing. But this problem here, Norway. If anybody listened to any part of that whole thing from Norway, what everybody should have learned was the tax hike, or the tax price rate, was, I believe it was 78% for Norway. You either pay our price, or our tax rate, or you don't get in. That's what you tell these companies. They're paying 78% taxes over there in Norway, and they had a group of their investors, and you know what? All three of the investors that are here are over there paying 78% taxes. If we make our taxes whatever we make them, either these companies pay the tax or they don't get to play the game. It's not really hard to figure out. It's my resource. It's not the oil companies. The House seems to think that this resource belongs to the oil company. It's not theirs. It's mine. And I want as much as I can get for it. And, the oil companies have taken over our Chamber of Commerce, our Resource Development Council, our policy groups, all virtually owned by the big oil. Let's not forget that the Miranda Hess court case. The court found from 1977 to 1992 the oil companies were guilty of falsification in computing the price paid to Alaska for its royalty oil. Remember, the judge accused the state.
Mr. Pierce, could you inexcusable focus on this? Could you
trust
sum up and
trustfulness in dealing with oil companies? You know, as a resident, these resources belong to us, and I appreciate you gentlemen trying to do what you can here. We need to get more for our bang for our buck here. These oil companies have literally bought everything in this state, and it's getting worse.
Thank you, Mr.
Don't lower the taxes and don't give them incentives. So pay the price or you don't get to get no reward here. That's just how it goes. Thanks for
Mr. Pierce, you're,
listening to my testimony.
Thank you very much. The record should reflect that we've been joined by committee member Senator McGuire, and then also Senator Ellis has been with us for quite some time as well. So the record should reflect that. Did I announce Senator Wilikowski's been here? I don't know if I did or not, but anyway, so Senator Wilikowski is here as well. We'll now transition to the Anchorage Legislative Information Office, Scott Thorson.
Yes, hello. For the record, my name is Scott Thorson. I'm here representing Network Business Systems, which is an IT services firm here in Anchorage, which I'm the CEO. It's pretty clear to me, I've been in Alaska since the early 70s and watching the oil companies operate, although I have no contracts with any of them, that the investment is down, and it's down big. As mature as Prudhoe Bay and the rest of the oil fields are on the slope, it takes a lot of investment to get the oil to come out of there. You know, you can have really high taxes, but if you've got no production, you've got nothing. And that's kind of the direction that we're headed in. It's really important to get our house in order so that Alaska is a competitive place for oil companies to invest. It doesn't make any difference how profitable or not profitable they are or what we're getting or what we're not getting if there's no activity on the slope. Alaska without oil is going to be a grim place to live. And, you know, we're heading that way unless we take some pretty big action to change our level of competitiveness with other places in North America and in the world. Alaska is the highest tax province in North America. At current prices, the government take is somewhere in, you know, 85% range. And that doesn't leave the oil companies very much room to produce, treat, ship, refine, and get it to market. So those are my comments. There's a lot of people here. I'll relinquish the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thorson. We'll continue in the Anchorage LIO. Alan Hippler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Alan Hippler. I'm with Faulkner Walsh Constructors. We're a contractor that does business in Bethel. I'm from Anchorage, but I'm really from all over the state. My family's been here for generations, and I hope we stay here for generations. And that's why I'm here. I want to keep my family here, and in order for my children to decide that Alaska is the best place for them, we need to have a vibrant economy. There needs to be something to attract them here. In Alaska, the thing that's driven our businesses and driven our economy in general is a strong oil industry. Unfortunately, right now, we're strangling that industry with taxes and regulation. There was a previous commenter who said oil companies should pay the tax or not play the game. Well, they're choosing not to play the game right now. Their return on investment is just not competitive with the return that they can get elsewhere. Now, I congratulate the Senate for recognizing this problem and bringing a proposal to the table. And now that we've recognized the problem, we can work on a solution. And the solution is you've proposed a solution that you've brought to the table here. I think that it's not quite enough of a meaningful change to change us from a situation where we're not competitive to a situation where we will be competitive. We need to stimulate investment. We need to keep the pipeline filled. And in order to do that, we need to lower our tax burden to be competitive with other oil provinces in this part of the world. If we do that, we will have a vibrant economy not just for the next few years, but for years to come in the future. so that all of our families can stay here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hippler. Maynard Tapp in Anchorage.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Maynard Tapp. I'm a proud 20-year citizen of the state of Alaska and a partner in a small business founded here in Alaska. I'm here representing myself. I don't speak for an organization or any of the producing companies. My idea would be to, and I don't think Senate Bill 192 goes far enough in this, is to please stop studying the problem and just picking around the edges. I propose we immediately kill ACEs. ACEs has killed production. We immediately determine what tax regime will stop the decline of production. Killing ACEs may not be enough. We need to keep in mind oil is valueless in the ground, and we have great partners that have year after year invested billions of dollars and helped us extract that resource, thereby monetizing our state's wealth. Number three, identify a tax regime business plan that will achieve the governor's goal of 1 million barrels per day pumped through the Alyeska pipeline. If you look at other parts of the United States, to me, just a person 50-50 seems like a fair split. You could use the Alberta or Gulf Coast models. The results in this will be production, production, production. So let me summarize my comments. Kill ACEs, stop the decline in production, produce 1 million barrels a day. Production, production, production. Thank you for the dedicated service to our state, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Mr. Tapp, thank you for being very concise in your testimony. The record should reflect that we actually were joined some time ago, but Senator Thomas is with us, and so we welcome him as well to the committee hearing this evening. Again, staying in Anchorage, Michael Jesperson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Michael Jesperson. I represent myself. My wife and our three children and I are proud residents of this state, and we'd kind of like our kids to stay here when they get out of school. My oldest is a sophomore right now, and when he starts UAA, my youngest will start elementary school. Under the current situation with taxation, the oil companies aren't going to be producing hardly a thing by the time my oldest hits college, let alone my youngest. We need to reform the tax structure. Well, Senate Bill 192 attempts to do so. It doesn't go far enough. I think you ought to scrap it, go back to House Bill 110, and give it a couple of years to work, increase the production, take more money from the oil companies over the long term instead of the short term, and provide a future for my children. What we do now doesn't affect me too much, but it will affect my children, and they're much more important. So please, reform taxation in a meaningful way to generate investment and provide an economy that my kids will be proud to be part of. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jesperson. We'll now transition to the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office, Lance Roberts.
Hello, it's Lance Roberts, P.O. Box 83449, Fairbanks, Alaska. I guess I'm just representing myself. I work with a number of organizations here in town. I work at Golden Valley Electric and have my own small business. And I've worked on the pipeline before and out in industry. I guess I just want to say I looked at the Department of Revenue, what they showed you guys the other day, their PowerPoint, and saw the graphs, and it looks like unamended that this bill isn't going to get us very far as changing the tax regime that we all know needs to be changed. We've got to get some more incentive out there. I have a lot of friends working in North Dakota, and there's a lot of things happening that we need to have happening here. I hope you'll at least look at some of those amendments that are capping off things at an earlier point and giving us some better results. But I hope you'll go farther than what's been put out here so far. We need to get a better tax regime going. We need to attract business. We need to incentivize production. Also, I'd just like to point out that it'd be really nice if the Senate decided that they were actually going to do hearings on HB 110 so that all of that could be done properly. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Roberts. We'll now continue with Mr. Richard Ween in Fairbanks.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Richard Ween. I'm a lifelong resident of Fairbanks, 76 years, seen a lot come and go. I'm familiar with Senator Pascaban and Senator Thomas. I want to say hello. To all of you, I would say Fairbanks has taken all this very serious. Our community is beginning to suffer from the lack of action and the concern over the ACES tax. I, for one, was against the ACES tax to begin with, and I'm against it now. I think that 192 isn't going to get us there, and I think you should reconsider 110. I don't know how you're going to deal with all the nuances of the tax when you've got a net value tax. It used to be a gross tax, and it was much simpler. I just don't know how you're going to create a tax system that is truly fair and equitable, as ACES was supposed to do. I don't envy you in discussing this and figuring out the proper approach, but I just wanted to say to Senator Thomas and Senator Pascaban, your constituents are suffering up here, and we're very concerned. On top of the issues with ACES, is we've got some really high energy costs. And one of our problems is that the royalty oil that is owned by the people of Alaska and should be utilized in our refineries up here to help lower the cost of energy is being charged at a premium over West Texas and West Coast fuel. And we're very concerned about that. Our refineries are struggling with it, and we've got some of the highest energy costs in the state, and in our business, I represent a retail flooring business. Our customers are telling us that they cannot, do business with us and still fill their fuel tank and pay their electric bill. I just cannot reiterate enough how serious this is and what an impact it is having on this community. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Very much, Mr. Ween. We do appreciate hearing your voice. So we say hello back. Both Senator Thomas and I say hello back to you. John Cook in Fairbanks.
Hello. This is John Cook, CFO for Airport Equipment Rental. Pleasure to talk to you tonight, Senator Pascaban, Thomas, and the rest of the committee members. I'd just like to take a minute to talk about our company. We're the largest heavy equipment rental company in the state of Alaska. We've got five locations. One of our major locations is up in Prudhoe Bay. About a third of our revenue stream is oil and gas. A third is civil construction, predominantly federal and state projects. Since the winter of 2009, we've seen our revenues in the North Slope decline between 50 and 60%. We don't see any end to this. We see a direct relationship between the implementation of ACES and the reduction in our revenue. We have a capital budget for the last 4 years. It's ranged between $25 and $45 million a year. For the last 2 years, we've had minimal investment, capital investment in dead horse assets. And this year, other than that required for safety and environmental purposes, we will have no capital investment in dead horse. We will have no further capital investment until we see policies that will add projects and revenue streams that will meet our rates of return. One of the things that has come up is that's a positive on the North Slope, but there has been an uptick in exploration and maintenance work. Unfortunately, this work has not and will not make up for the decline in the construction revenues associated with large projects, which are higher revenue, higher margin jobs, and also have the added benefit of increasing production through TAPS. Another story I'd like to relate is that we have actually been redeploying assets off the North Slope down to the Kenai Peninsula. And I would applaud the legislature, the governor, and many of you in this room for enacting policies which not only encouraged exploration, but also encouraged putting those products into production. So you've got a little more of a balanced equation down there. Things are happening in Kenai. We're investing capital in Kenai, capital that used to be invested in the North Slope. I wish it was enough to make up for what we have seen disappear off the slope. It hasn't been, but it is a positive story, and it's one that we can look to in our own state, not down in North Dakota or Alberta or anywhere else. So I'd encourage you all to go take a look at the Kenai Peninsula. It's a very, very positive story that you all can be proud of. I guess to conclude my testimony, I'd urge you to pass meaningful legislation, which will create an environment that will encourage investment over the short, medium, and long term, and that will add production to TAPS. I thank you all for your time. And
thank you, Mr. Cook. Jim Plickett, Fairbanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Plackey. I'm a 38-year member of the Opry Engineers Local 302. I've been following the petroleum tax debate in Juneau, and I'd like to offer a few comments as a longtime Alaskan who plans to remain here for a long time to come. It is time for Alaskans to come to grips with the environment of declining oil production. TAPS throughput is falling at an alarming rate, putting the long-term viability of the pipeline in jeopardy. We need to acknowledge major shifts within the oil and gas industry worldwide in the global market and lower 48, adjust our expectations, and move ahead with success. We as Alaskans should be looking for ways to make development of our oil and gas more economical rather than seeking ways to thwart further development. Alaska should be open and ready for business and willing to provide a regulatory and tax climate in which the industry can reinvest back into Alaska. Alaskans and industry working together can achieve both of our goals. The state of Alaska will benefit through increased revenues and the citizens of Alaska with jobs and income. We Alaskans must look to the future. I'm optimistic that as long as we make production of oil and gas in Alaska economically attractive, the oil industry, like any for-profit corporation, will aggressively pursue development of new and older fields in Prudhoe. Economically, Alaska and its residents need this continued investment from the oil industry. If the legislature passes meaningful tax reform, North Slope producers have already pledged at least $5 billion in new investments and will likely see billions more. The governor's bill is the only legislation up to this point that moves the needle in attracting major new investments. The way I see it, the question that should be asked by legislators in Juneau right now is not how much tax revenue can the state get, but how much future investment can we attract? The industry has proven that it's committed to Alaska for the long haul, 40 to 50 years, they're saying. All they want is Alaska to be competitive tax-wise, to be able to expand and put more oil in the pipeline. Alaska's oil production is declining at a rate of 6% a year, even while the industry is investing $1 to $1.5 billion per year. To meet the 3% decline forecast by the Department of Revenue 2011 study, industry would have to double the investment. Without more investment into the oil patch, Alaskans will be looking in the future at a state sales tax or an income tax in the near future.
Mr. Plackey.
Thank you for letting me testify.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Plackey. We're trying to keep things on time so we can get through everyone that's signed up, but we do appreciate hearing your information. We now move to MATSU, Legislative Information Off, James Garhart.
Yes, my name is James Garhart, known as Lazy Mountain Jim, and I'm here representing Sanity. Okay, the problem that I see is there are those not willing to take less in taxes without guarantees of production increases. Well, what I would suggest then is call their bluff. We don't have to change the tax structure at all. That way you're not affecting what future legislators can do. What we do is when they achieve production increases, you give them a rebate. That is not an altering of the tax structure. It's giving them a rebate just like you get a tax refund, you know, depending on what you do. Now, okay, now I'll admit that I got these numbers from what I consider not a reliable source. I got them from the Department of Revenue's forecast booklet. 600,000 barrels per day brought in just over $8 billion. Therefore, every 50,000 barrels per day, we got two-thirds of $1 billion in revenue. So what I would suggest is, at 650,000 barrels per day production, they get a rebate of, just the number as a suggestion, $250 million. That way they get their rebate, and the state nets an extra $417 million. They get 700,000, they get a $500 million rebate. Okay, now, this would be only once they've achieved additional production. They don't have to guarantee anything. We don't have to guarantee anything. When and only when you achieve it, you get your reduction. And by the way, just for at 1 million barrels per day, which is what the governor would like to target, and all the emphasis is, oh, yeah, we can't give a $2 billion giveaway without a guarantee. With my program, at 1 million barrels per day, they would be getting a $2 billion rebate. But the state would bring in an additional $5.3 billion, netting us $3.3 billion after paying their $2 billion rebate. So there's just a suggestion. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Garhart. It certainly got a few smiles out of the committee. So we now continue at MATSU, Mr. Jim Sykes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jim Sykes. I'm a longtime oil and gas observer, and I'm speaking for myself, not being paid by anybody to be here. I want to thank you and the other members of the Senate for taking a real close examination of the situation and looking into really some of the details that I think have been glossed over. But I'd like to put something on the table that I haven't heard a lot about, and I think most people agree we'd like to see more oil in the pipeline. People talk about being more competitive, but I sense there's a lack of competition, and I'm one who fought for competition to make sure that BP didn't acquire ARCO's assets, that we have three companies there, but it's I still think there's a bit of a roadblock there, because we know there's oil there, there are people exploring, but the new production is kind of being roadblocked because there's not certainty, there's not price certainty or access certainty for the processing of that oil to get it in the line. And I think that there needs to be a mechanism to ensure that new production can be processed, can get into the line at a reasonable and affordable and a profitable price for everybody. I think that's one of the roadblocks that hasn't really been discussed. As a small businessman myself, I'm a little bit troubled that the ACES tax scheme hasn't been audited. It appears to be working okay as far as I can see, but to me, the state doesn't even really know where you are. So until it's audited, I think that you shouldn't change the tax regime, and the worst that could happen is that you continue to collect taxes in what seems to be somewhat fair for everybody under the current regime. I think that everybody pretty much understands the oil industry is in business to make maximum profit. If they can persuade the legislature to take less money, they get more, you get less. It's pretty simple. And they don't have to do a lot of work for that. And right now I think one of the problems is that the older wells that are extremely profitable around Prudhoe Bay are really going through a minimum of development. But new oil takes a capital expenditure and more activity, and if they simply wait for the new guys to come in, they can collect extra processing fees or perhaps become partners or even take over the leases if they can't come to it.
I mean, we got to, you know, to everyone that's listening, we need to try to keep as, you know, he went way over, and so I apologize for that, but we got to cut people off at some point in time. Laura Makita at MATSU.
Hello. Hello. My name is Laura Makita, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I speak for myself and my family. I'm not paid by anyone either. In fact, I'm not even billable by anyone. I'm writing to you. I'm testifying basically because, and obviously I don't have written notes. I found out this was possible today, an hour ago. But for the first time in my life, I testified last year before the Resources Committee in the House, and shaking and nervous, I feel so compelled to just jump in and start fighting for my boys' jobs. I'm a mother of two. My husband and I started out business in a camper, pretty much freezing through the winter, and it's grown to the point where we've afforded a new house. I paid for my nursing school with cash. I can afford now to send my son to a private school to address his specific learning challenges. And all this is because of the blessing of oil in Alaska. So my sphere of influence and the information that I've gathered to really compel me to come and testify before you is essentially offshore and onshore interests. Our family construction business went from having 70 families relying on us in the valley to a handful now, similar to Cruz Construction that had 200 up on the slope, and now they have less than 10. We have finally been driven as well to North Dakota, and we had the opportunity to build a 300 man camp for Solston last year. And I just call and I just want to thank you for looking at this issue, because every single person that I interview and ask in this research essentially can boil it down to the progressivity of bases. And I hope that I don't care what the number is behind the bill. I don't care if it's SB 192 or HB 110, but I do ask that you address the progressivity issues. Every single person I can ask, from industry, from BP, from Co to just mom and pop like us, we can see that the progressivity issue is causing the decline. Essentially, there is no incentive to really invest. No business wants to operate under 76% taxes to 92% taxes. And I know whether you're an oil company or you're selling soap, it's crushing to develop your business model with that kind of taxes in mind. And so I thank you for addressing this issue, and I know there's 17 amendments in the SB 192, and I don't know what they all address, but I do hope that you are compelled, as I am, to look at readdressing the high taxation regarding the progressivity. And I thank you so much for your time and your service and for listening to the public.
Thank you, Ms. Makita. We'll now turn here to the local audience, Reed Christensen. Welcome, Mr. Christensen. Please state your name and affiliation, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Pascavan. My name is Reed Christensen. I'm the Vice President and General Manager of Dallenbach Corporation, and a local Alaskan-based company started in 1975. We manufacture wellhead control panels and oil field instrumentation systems and stainless steel fabrication. Lynn Johnson's our president and one of the original founders of the company back in 1975. And so I just, as I've been here today and listening to the testimony, I was trying to think of a way to describe the feelings and the situation as I see it as a resident and as a constituent. And it feels like we've been thrust into a game of high-stakes poker. It feels like we have the state on one side holding their cards and saying, hey, what guarantees will you provide if we were to do something? And we have the oil companies saying, hey, well, we can invest elsewhere. You know, it's unattractive, it's uncompetitive. And so I got a couple of thoughts to pass on. It feels like those of us in the service industry have been thrust into this, and we're feeling the pain. I empathize with those in Fairbanks and our own company. Since ACES has passed it, since 2008, our sales are down 40% since 2008. And so, you know, when taxes are raised, We've heard it said corporations don't pay taxes. They look around to see where they can recoup those costs or where they can reduce their costs. And one of those areas that they look at is one of our most important industries in the state, the service industry in the oil and gas business. And so we're feeling the pain there. Also, in this high stakes poker game, it feels like many of the constituents in the state are not seeing the relationship that oil plays. It seems a lot of folks that I talk to that are not in the oil and gas business think, well, that's you guys. The producer's got all this money, and you guys are I'm sure you'll be fine, and don't realize the impact to education and to infrastructure and the budget, the capital budget for the entire state. So another feels like a pawn in that game. And so, you know, when you're playing poker, they say you don't play your hand, you play your opponent. And it feels, as just watching this, that's what it feels like. And it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. And so I bring that analogy as not a good thing, but I think we need to switch from playing high-stakes poker to playing high-volume production and looking from both sides at what we can do to stem the decline and to increase production. In this poker game, it's a scary thought, as had already been mentioned, with the state being so reliant on production and on oil. I don't know if we can afford to bluff. The cliff we're heading towards is a very ugly situation, and so I would request that we continue focusing our efforts on production. I haven't been able to read all the amendments and the details, but it seems like 192 is not enough to move the needle to change the focus to production, but I would request that that's where we look from high-stakes poker to high-volume production.
Thank you. Mr. Christensen. Krista Gonder. Good evening. Please state your name and affiliation, and the floor is yours.
My name is Krista Gonder, and I am the Senior Vice President at Northern Industrial Training. NIT is a family-owned and operated, and I should preface, an Alaskan family-owned and operated company. We started in 2003. We provide health, safety, environmental training, as well as hands-on truck driving, heavy equipment, pipe fitting, and welding training. TAPS fed me and my brothers. We are very grateful for that. All five Crum kids, I'm now a Gonder. We live in Alaska. That's where we came from. I want the same opportunity, my kindergarten through 12th grade education was paid through by TAPS at Anchor Point and Homer High School. I want the exact same opportunity for my three nieces and the kids that I don't have yet. I do not believe that Senate Bill 192 spurs investment that will result in production. We live in a very competitive, and I'm going to stress it again, competitive global economy. Oil and gas policies cannot be made with blinders on. The state is, in fact, in a joint venture with industry. Industry pays our bills. That's been established. It has for decades. However, our joint venture is not a balanced partnership right now. We must be competitive in our own tax structure, and under ACES, we are not. We need to let the market work and allow for a strong service industry, because the service industry is being affected in a negative manner. Please reconsider House Bill 110. This is not a game. This is our future. And we need to increase production. We need to stop sending Alaskan companies and Alaskan talent to North Dakota and other parts of the world. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate hearing your thoughts on this. We'll now go off net. Fred Marino.
He's no longer online. He's no longer online.
Oh, is Jerry Awinona? Awinona?
Yes, Jerry Awinona.
Yes, please state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony.
Okay, Jerry Awinona. I'm a district chairman for the Republican Party in Anchorage. I would like to thank the committee and the chairman, Pastor Van, for hearing public testimony on this monumentally important issue today, oil and tax cuts. The ACES that was passed in 2007, we had as governor Sarah Palin and lieutenant governor Sean Parnell. Until 2009 when the governor then resigned and the lieutenant governor then became the governor. And then we were...
This meeting is now over. Thank you for calling.
Well, that... we're still online and still is just... Approximately 1 hour to go, and I know we have well more than 20 people online, and we have quite a number of people here locally, so I want to get at least through the people that are here, traveled here to Juneau. I want to get through them, so while potentially there's some difficulty with the off-net, we'll now go to Scott. Is it Stewart?
Hi, my name is Scott Stewart. I'm co-founder and president of Arctic Controls, started back in 1985. Basically, all I'm going to say right here, right now, just real quick, I don't think S. Bill 192 is going to go far enough. I do believe House Bill 110 will do something, although I don't know if that'll go as far as enough as it should. And that's how I feel. Thanks.
Thank you for the brevity. It is well received. Brian Clemens, I'm going to try to get through the people, and then after that will be Tom Maloney and then Jenny Del Rosario. So that will be the order from there. All right, Mr. Clemens.
Hello, my name is Brian Clemens. I work at CH2ML, and I'm representing myself, my family, and like-minded Americans. During 2007 and 2008, I was working with a rapidly growing Alaska Native-owned engineering services company. Prompted by high oil prices and the promise of a very bright economic future, our company was boasting more than 350 employees and growing, enjoying greater margins than ever, and discussing diversification, which included expanding our Alaska-based services globally. During the month of September and October 2007, my fellow senior managers and I were developing the 2008 strategic plan and budgets. We were very aggressive. ACES passed in November, and it was not until many months later that we would understand the impact. We continued to execute our plan and entered into the second quarter and were approaching 600 employees as planned. In April, the writing was on the wall and the company proceeded to a spiral, in a decline that left them with less than 120 employees by the end of the year and the abandonment of the initiatives to diversify. This was a result of the fiscal uncertainty and a non-competitive investment environment. The elimination of progressivity in the tax code offers the best chance to build a diversified Alaskan economy. Alaska's economy and state treasury is still heavily dependent on the oil and gas sector. A sharp downturn in the oil and gas market could be disastrous to the state economy and to the state treasury. A diversified economy would mitigate these risks. If a diversified economy is an important goal of this legislature, it should altogether eliminate progressivity in the oil and gas. If this legislature does not cleanly eliminate progressivity, you will discourage production, and by discouraging production, you will be eliminating the state's best chance to develop a diversified economy. Multi-sector economic diversification develops from one healthy economic sector. By removing conditions unfriendly to the expansion of oil and gas, you will be creating the conditions of economic diversification. You will be creating conditions that will enable Alaskan job growth and state revenues to rest on firmer foundation. So is the question, how can we find the sweet spot for maximizing the state government take? I don't think so. After all, that's why we became Americans more than two centuries ago and started a system of capitalism that made us the economic world power we are today. Or is the question, how can we be the most competitive for oil and gas investment, thus placing revenues back into the hands of the private sector, who can inherently diversify Alaska's economy more efficiently than any other engine? Let's together make the significant changes needed to be competitive and begin our journey in creating a diversified Alaskan economy and make our state the crown jewel of the Union. Thank you.
Tom, we welcome you to the committee. Please state your name and affiliation, and then begin your testimony.
Thank you, Senator Pascavan. Your co-chair, Mr. Wagner, and all the senators. My name is Tom Maloney. I'm a resident of South Anchorage, and I'll testify on behalf of my son, Sam Maloney. First of all, I'd like to comment and thank each and every one of the senators and all of you. I don't think most people that are online, on the radio or anything, know how hard you all work. You have to go and do your regular day job when you get done with the testimony tonight, so believe me, many people do appreciate it. My son Sam is a 19-year-old graduate of South High, KCC, and right now he's a sophomore at the University of Alaska Anchorage, majoring in welding and non-destructive technology. He has 11 welding certs. Last night we had a conversation. He says, Dad, again, he is only 19, why don't we do big things in Alaska anymore, like when I was a kid? I said, Sam, what do you mean? He says, well, when I was young, they were building big modules down there in Nikiski for Alpine, a huge oil field. They were building North Star down at the Port of Anchorage. I'd go over the fabrication facility when I was young. I'd see lots of activities going on for new production facilities in Alaska. Now, and he was over at the fab shop the other day, there's really not much going on as far as new production going. He has had two job possibilities that have been thrown at him for this potential summer. Guess where they are? One is in Alberta, where somebody that he knew and grew up with is running a multi-billion-dollar project and said, hey, Sam, we have jobs for the next 20-plus years with capital projects. Another is from somebody that testified here earlier today relative to an opportunity in North Dakota, and he is pursuing other potential opportunities in the state. So the bottom line, he wants to see more production. He wants to see more royalties. He'd like to see bigger permanent funds. He'd like to see more money coming to him. He'd like to stay and live here in Alaska on big future production projects right here where he was born and raised. And thank you all so much for what you're doing.
Maloney, thank you very much your presentation. Jenny Del Rosario.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity, and good evening, everybody. Mr. Chairman, member of the committee, I came here tonight not representing the big oil company, but I represent myself, the mothers, the families, and the small business owners. Well, I'm here not because of figures. I'm here because of the bottom line. We know how tirelessly you work, and we wait for you to finish the session and see what are results that we can avail of the citizens of the state of Alaska. So we're here is because we're in a waiting game. We're edgy about it, and we're very thankful that you're doing your job. And as what we see that big companies, if they don't do their job, then give opportunities to people or to other companies that will do their job well in the best interest of the citizens of Alaska. Give them incentives. If they don't do their job, then let's be open-minded and give other investors to come in. But the bottom line is Alaska's greatest resources are underwater and underground, and we know that. And we know you're doing your job to work and to use our resources the best interest for the citizen of Alaska. We just here is because we don't want to wait and see at the end that we don't have any services and support for the families. We work tirelessly. I'm very proud to be a citizen of Alaska and a small business owner doing business in the summertime. Our industry here is oil, our fishing, and our tourism. I'm part of the tourism industry. I'm here is because I'd like to request everybody to be reasonable, be factual, and be open-minded in your approach. We just want you to do your job. We're waiting. We know that you are all brilliant people. Because what we look at is the end results, sir, and miss, and we just want you to give us hope and provide fundings to ensure the services and support for the families of Alaska are properly addressed. So I'm here speaking in behalf of the mothers who are not here, the small business owner. We are waiting and we're watching you. Thank you for the opportunity tonight. My name is Jenny Del Rosario.
Thank you very much for the testimony. I understand that Anchorage is now back with us, so we will transfer back to the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. Karen, C-A-R-O-N, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ken Karen. I'm a retiree, 33 years on the Alaska radar system as a civilian employee. Before that, I worked on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. What I wanted to do real quick was just point out that in the discussions and in the text I've written about the taxes, House Bill 110 and Senate Bill 192, they both speak about the amount of taxes that would be lost based on the production level today. 200, 250 million first year under House Bill, or under Senate Bill 192, and House Bill 110 could be as much as $2 billion lost. Well, my question is, if the taxes were lowered on the oil and production increased, where would the oil production levels need to advance in order to equal today's tax revenue? In other words, if we have a pipeline that can carry 1 million barrels of oil a day, and today it's probably below 500,000, what amount of oil increase would we need to put through the pipeline in order to reach today's tax revenue? And we should know as citizens on both of those proposals, how much would production need to increase in order to recover the 250 to 200 million lost under Senate Bill 192 and the same under House Bill 110? How much production would need to increase in order to meet the threshold we have today? I think the citizens of Alaska would then be able to calculate on their own that if we put the production back up to levels high enough to fill the pipeline, anything over that threshold would be more revenue to the citizens and our permanent fund and would help fund all the other state projects that we have in process. That's all I had to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Karen. Jim Wanamaker in Anchorage.
Oh, yes, Jim Wanamaker here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Please state your name and affiliation and
okay.
Provide your
testimony. My name is Jim Wanamaker. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. And some of you may recall I served as an Alaska District Court judge. I would emphasize I am fully retired and my civil rights have been restored. I'm testifying as an individual. I have four children and four grandchildren, all living in Anchorage. I've lived here 51 years. My first message is preserve ACES. ACES is a fair and appropriate oil tax. If ACES is repealed or weakened, we will never get it back. My next point is House Bill 110 is not needed. The big three have found and developed big oil fields. They are now in harvest mode. I emphasize the words harvest mode. The big three will complete the harvest without any subsidy. House Bill 110 is simply an effort by the big three to increase the profits from the harvest at the expense of Alaskans. My next point is exploration is already happening. Numerous small oil companies are exploring right now without any increase in tax incentives. Also, new oil is not needed for TAPS to operate. The Trans-Alaska Pipeline System is not about to shut down for lack of oil. Judge Gleason has found in a recent litigation over TAPS property taxes that based on current circumstances, TAPS can operate down to 100,000 barrels per day and will have an operational lifetime through 2065. Also, more oil will be developed because of peak oil. Nobody's talked about peak oil. We've reached the peak of the production of cheap oil. From here on, it's going to be way more expensive to produce oil. The price of our easy-to-produce oil will be high, and it will be increasingly sought after and pumped through the pipeline. Also, somewhere out there on the horizon is federal oil. Lastly, I would hope the legislature would follow Norway's example. They are saving the oil wealth for future generations. They've acquired and preserved expertise that belongs to the country. We could do that for our state. And they participate in oil lease development as an owner. We could do that. Thank you for your time and for the great effort you all have put in on these issues.
Thank you very much. We now move to Jerry McCutcheon at Anchorage. And hopefully everyone, oh, yes, we've been joined by Senator Huggins. Welcome to Senator Huggins. I would like to get through everyone that's on the list, so if everyone can pretty much try to stick to the 2 minutes, then we can get through the people that have gone out of their way to be at the legislative offices that have signed up. So, Jerry McCutcheon, 2 minutes.
For the record, my name is Jerry McCutcheon. Mr. Chairman, since I'm only allotted a short time, and I only know what was being considered to be put in SB 192, I'll only address one of them, one of the considerations espoused by Senator Bill Wilkoski. First, do not fix that which is not broken. Second, Conoco appeared before you on February 15th, making a point of not providing information needed to make an intelligent decision on ACES. Why reward the withholding of information from the legislature? I can safely say that had Conoco provided the information requested, you senators would be increasing oil taxes. The oil companies may lie, cheat, and steal, but they're not stupid. The legislature needs to understand that the North Slope is no longer elephant country. Only rabbits, maybe a few caribou, remain. The North Slope's elephants were all found decades ago. It is long past time for the elephant hunters, BP, Exxon, and Conoco, and Chevron, to go. They do not, nor should they, hunt rabbits. It is like BP said in their internal memo, Alaska is the cash cow to provide exploration and development elsewhere. Alaska should send BP, Conoco, and Exxon on their way, even if the state has to help fund their buyout. BP is a run-to-ruin company who should be replaced as Prudhoe Bay operator and TAPS operator in any event. BP, who again continues to take the ruin-to-run path, is exemplified by yet another Cherry Point refinery fire, the Cherry Point refinery fire. What is broken are the tax credits. The legislature does not know who got the $4 billion in tax credits for what and why. What is needed is legislation which requires the oil companies to pay the oil taxes, and when the oil taxes are settled, then the companies can apply for tax credits. When all of the information for the tax credit is provided and justified, then the tax credits can be given. Second, that no tax credits be given until...
Again, we have to keep it to 2 minutes. We'll now go off net to Tom Lacoche. Off net. Tom.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to testify. I'm a 29-year resident and retired journeyman carpenter here, and I oppose the lunch subsidy for oil companies. I think it's quite obvious that our hungry children need it much more. And I think you should actually raise taxes, given that the oil companies are now going to have to dodge Iranian missiles to get their oil to market. But beyond the political reality of oil marketing is the fact that all legislators are sworn by our Constitution to provide the maximum benefit to the people here. And the Department of Revenue has made it quite clear that this reduces our revenue, not increases it. There is no correlation to any future increase in revenue or any jobs. And in fact, this is an end run around the and ripoff of the permanent fund, where it's clear that you're trying to at least subsidize jobs at probably millions of dollars per jobs at the while taking that money out of the permanent fund to do it. And because we would otherwise have that revenue go to the permanent fund. But to the extent that we can have, or to the reserve fund, excuse me, the permanent fund comes out of the lease revenues. But to the extent that, you know, those revenues should be properly appropriated for job creation at the maximum rate, or the maximum rate of jobs per dollar spent, the legislature definitely has to take a closer look at what we have to gain here with the clear loss of revenue that has been predicted by our Department of Revenue. I thank you very much, and please, do not act hastily here. There is a big change in world oil markets that make us much more favorable as an oil development market. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lakosh. We now return back to Anchorage. Keith Silver. Two minutes, please, Mr. Silver. We have Anchorage.
Yep. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and Committee. My name is Keith Silver. I'm a constituent of Senator McGuire, and it's my second time testifying on the correction of ACES. The first time was the Joint Senate and House Finance Committee. From that effort last year, House Bill 110 passed the House and resides in the Senate. I'm a past victim of ACES and had to start a new career at age 56. Now I'm a business owner and as such I'm very concerned about declining oil production. The progressivity formula of ACES must be declared a failure, and a more competitive solution must be found. Senate Bill 192 does not currently move the bar far enough to be considered competitive. At current high prices, Alaska's oil production tax is the highest among all oil-producing regions in the Western Hemisphere. Our current tax structure was designed to make us competitive for investment when oil was at $60 to $80 a barrel, not above that. In 2007, just weeks after ACES passed, the state predicted oil production would be 674,000 barrels per day in 2011. The actual production turned out to be approximately 603,000 barrels per day. The state in 2007 did not forecast Alaska's daily oil production would fall to current levels until 2022. The decline curve projections were 10 years off. Senators, the situation is becoming dire, and you and your colleagues need to act now to correct the mistake made in 2007. More study is not needed. It only took you 3 weeks to pass ACES. I urge you to amend the bill to closely mirror House Bill 110 and pass it on to the next committee. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Silver. Dave Styron? Styron?
You're right the first time, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Styron. I am here representing myself. I have a local radio talk show that airs 5 days a week from 2 to 5, and I am a constituent of Senator McGuire. I recall when members of the majority introduced the governor a little over a year ago at a downtown luncheon here in Anchorage, in which the governor announced his 10-year goal of 1 million barrels of throughput through TAPS. And as someone who is paid to pay attention to progress, I've noticed that the decline curve has continued while other legacy-producing regions such as Texas have plateaued or even increased their production in light of record-high oil prices. So I don't come to you as an expert of policy. I come to you as a concerned citizen and someone who pays attention to your press releases. I am curious as to how House Bill, even though it is 110, even though it is flawed, is more flawed than a two-page bill, Senate Bill 192. With the bevy of experts you've had testify before you, including Dr. Van Meers, whose testimony I attended, I'm curious as to how all of the suggestions and the items that the experts have given you have failed to make its way into Senate Bill 192. I'm sure that'll be a later amendment. We are concerned, not just as oil employees, surrogates of oil employees, but as people who go to restaurants, people who go to doctors, dentists, and in all walks of life of Alaska, rural Alaska as well as urban, as to the direction the Senate is taking on this matter. I could build a pipeline with the paper you've made in studies. I'd prefer to see more throughput in taps. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Styron.
Styron.
Anyway, sorry if I mispronounced it.
Good enough.
All right. Dwayne Moran,
yes.
Anchorage LIO.
Dwayne Moran, president of the Anchorage Council of Education, Alaska Public Employees Association. Thank you for this opportunity. This is a complicated issue, and there is no single correct answer. Having had the opportunity to listen to a couple of informative debates on oil taxes with various viewpoints, it is clear individuals are doing an excellent job of advocating for their respective positions. I'm confident that most Alaskans would agree that having more oil in the pipeline is a good thing. How we collectively get there is the challenge. Changes made to the tax code should have a direct linkage to additional oil production. It needs to have written, enforceable contracts with penalties for noncompliance and bonuses for exceeding performance. Because a reduction in taxes that only makes Alaska a more, quote, attractive investment climate is not a sufficient commitment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moran. Joe Mathis in Anchorage.
Thank you. Co-Chairman Passman, Co-Chairman Wagner, and committee members, thank you for taking time to hear public testimony on Alaska's oil tax structure and Senate Bill 192. My name is Joe Mathis. I'm Vice President of External Affairs for Nano Development Corporation. With all the rhetoric surrounding this issue, it is clear that you are attempting to bring a solution to the table with Senate Bill 192. As an Alaskan, I appreciate your due diligence on this issue. As someone who has worked and supported the oil industry for more than 30 years, and as a small businessman and as an employee of NANA, it is clear to me and NANA Development Corporation that it's time to now significantly ease the burden on the oil industry. More investment will come with less costly tax rates, and in turn that will lead to more production. Current Alaska's oil production tax creates no incentives for the oil companies to increase their footprint here. Last year, NANA made a significant investment in an oil field service company. Unfortunately, it was not an investment in Alaska, where our oil business climate is stagnant. We invested in a company in Louisiana that services over 700 platforms in the Gulf of Mexico. That region is booming with activity, and in large part because of the tax structure. I wish we could say the same. You have heard statistics, so I will not repeat them other than to say that Alaska is not competitive compared to other areas in the United States. Alaska's investment climate is driving business away. We do not have a lack of oil in Alaska. We have a lack of investment. We must reverse the trend and get more oil into the pipeline. The message from the producers is clear that lower tax means more investment. At NANA, that investment means jobs and economic opportunity for our region and for our shareholders. It means our companies grow and serve expansion on the North Slope. We support the governor's goal of 1 million barrels a day through the pipeline, but we will never meet that mark if the tax rate, when oil is high, shows so little benefit to the producers. Your goal needs to be is to send a message that Alaska is open and ready for business and that we want a fair, reliable tax regime.
by passing legislation that lowers tax rates, you will be doing that very thing. The current bill in its present form.
Again, we'll now transfer off net to Pete Stokes. Is there a Pete Stokes off net? Mr. Stokes. How about Hal Gasway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please
state I want to thank the members of the majority. I beg your pardon?
Please state your name and affiliation.
Yes, Hal Gasway.
All right.
I'd like to beg your pardon?
Yes, please present your testimony.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the members of the majority coalition last year for not getting stampeded into adopting House Bill 110. That would be a giveaway of unparalleled proportion. Now, I'm at the end of my career, and I could only have pursued one because of a good education I received in Alaska and a strong economy in Alaska during most of those years. I was just a boy when the constitutional delegate Bob Bartlett spoke before the Alaska Constitution Convention. But Senator Bartlett warned of just such days as these, when lobbyists in the oil industry and other resource extraction industries would be trying to extract our resources, not leave behind a adequate infrastructure, would not pay an adequate amount for the resource they took from Alaska. The Constitutional Convention listened to Senator Bartlett, and they adopted Article 8, Section 2 of the Constitution, which requires the legislature to provide for utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources for the maximum benefit of Alaska's people. Now, my grandchildren are now at the age I was when Senator Bartlett spoke to the Constitutional Convention. Whether my grandchildren and their grandchildren will be able to receive the same education, the same career opportunities in Alaska that I did, will depend on whether the members of this Senate and the next legislature have the same intelligent integrity and courage and vision as the Constitutional Convention, Governors Bill Egan, Governor Jay Hammond, Governor Wally Hickel, and Senator Bob Bartlett, and that they will do their duty and defeat such giveaways in House Bill 110 and see that whenever we reduce the amount that we charge for the oil in Alaska, Alaska's oil, that we receive enforceable commitments for increase in production or quid pro quo for whatever money we're giving up to the oil companies for their continuing to do business here. They do business here because they make more money here than they will someplace else. BP has gone, British Petroleum has gone from, what, 13th to 3rd largest oil-producing company
since
they started doing business in Alaska, and they get 25% of their profits here. So this is not the gloom and doom that we've been here.
Okay, again, we're trying to keep people to 2 minutes so we can finish. Jerry Awinona, off net. Are you available, Jerry?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am available. Jerry Awinona in Anchorage, District 20, Republican Chairman. I thank the committee for holding this hearings again and taking public testimony on this monumentally important issue. ACES in 2007 and 2009, as I was saying, was passed under two different governors, and this year, or since 2010, ACES has had a different governor, our current governor and lieutenant governor. And the difference between those two governors, I believe, in this arena of taxes when ACES was passed and as ACES stands now is the constitutionality. I believe it was passed in a way that was constitutional, and so it was went through the legislature in a way and in a manner that was speedy and effective. And many of the organizations that have testified on hurtful legislation, I have a lot of alliances to the oil industry, and I believe that the legislature, as our body of lawmakers, has an alliance to the Alaska Constitution. And so I support a lot of the people's testimony that the Constitution should be respected and the lease term limits should maybe be looked at I thank you, the chairman, and have a great night.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the brevity. We now is Pete Stokes. I want to make sure that we give Mr. Stokes an opportunity. Pete Stokes. All right, we'll move back to Anchorage LIO, Ben Moore.
Yeah, hello. My name is Ben Moore. If you're keeping score at home, it's M-O-H-R. Thank you for this testimony to testify, Mr. Chairman, and the rest of the committee. And thanks for taking 2 days to hear us. I thought about testifying tomorrow, but it's leap day, and I'm not sure leap day counts. So, throughout this process, we've heard a lot about the owner-state principle that lies at the foundation of resource development in Alaska. And I would encourage this body to keep the owner-state in mind as you consider making changes to our oil tax regime. I'm a young Alaskan. I came to college, came here for college, stayed so that I could live, explore, and enjoy the natural beauty of our state. And my wife of 3.5 years and is Alaska born and raised, and we mean to stay the rest of our lives here. I don't work in oil or gas, but I do see its importance to the overall well-being of our state. As a co-owner of our resource, I think it's important that we not seek out short-term gains at the expense of long-term prosperity. ACES does that, and I thank you guys for recognizing that ACES needs to change. The change needs to be significant, it needs to be meaningful, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. We're seeing the funds, which could go towards extending the life of TAPS, hemorrhage to more competitive investment climates. Looking at the Department of Revenue forecast built around SB 192, I don't see that this bill offers significant changes needed to make Alaska an attractive investment climate. Why would a major producer put money in Alaska when those same investment dollars yield higher returns in other places around the world? The long-term wellness of our state is our The long-term wellness of our state fiscal structure and the overall economy of Alaska isn't tied to dollars coming down the pipe. It's tied to the volume coming down the pipe. George Stephanopoulos would say, it's the production, stupid. If we can't open the tap back up and get oil flowing in significant volumes, we're guilty of cashing out early at the expense of my generation and the generations that come after me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore. Sarah Erkman, again, we want to get through the rest of the people here, so please, everyone, limit your testimony to 2 minutes. Sarah.
Sarah does not wish to testify.
Sarah. All right. Peter Maxey.
Correct. My name is Peter Maxey. I represent myself and a small fabrication company that supports the oil industry, Steel Fab here in Anchorage. 64-year-old company here. I'm taking time out from my life to come and speak in favor of rolling back the taxes on oil production in Alaska. I'm amazed that your body passed this current level of taxation in less than a month with little or no input from the consultants and research that you now seem to require to turn it back. Obviously, it was no one was thinking or looking ahead at that time. I do not truthfully know what the best level of taxation is, but it's not this one. I'm in favor of a reversal to a direct midpoint or back to a start of 3 years ago while I do another round of research. I'm also a little tired of the giving back rhetoric that is thrown around. If you're making a dollar and suddenly you're making $2 because the market has forced the price up, and because of that you suddenly jump to 20%, is 20 cents an equitable return? Reversing the tax at 50% is not giving money back, but just taking less. I represent a small company that supports the oil industry. Our employment levels are off. We have laid off 8 men last month. A work that is directly accountable to the oil field is off by at least half. Luckily, because we've been around this long, we work for other industries, but even that is slow given the current economy. In closing, this state runs on oil, not fish, not tourists, not mining, and certainly not logging. You need to pay attention here and do something to invigorate this cash cow that we call oil. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maxey. Sammy Glasscott.
My name is Sammy Glasscott. I'm the president of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. The Anchorage Chamber consists of nearly 1,100 businesses that represent more than 60,000 of Anchorage's employees. 85% of our businesses have less than 100 employees, and about 85% of those have less than 30 employees. We are the coffee shops, the bookstores, the hotels, the auto repair shops, the gyms, the hospitals, the banks, the daycares, and the movie theaters that make Anchorage the vibrant and attractive city visitors and residents alike have come to love. Comparatively, we enjoy a very vital local economy and good quality of life. Last November, BusinessWeek.com ranked Anchorage the 10th best city in America. Undeniably, the oil and gas industry, which contributes 90% to our state's economy, is the foundation of our success. Knowing this, we must understand that none of these qualities are sustainable without attracting and securing a pipeline of successful resource development projects, not tomorrow, but now. Currently, we have no major projects or minor projects for resource developments in the works. Even if we did, they are nowhere near production. We must understand that doing business in Alaska is challenged. We are remote from the rest of the world, live in extreme conditions, and have a high probability for litigation and permitting delays. So what are we doing to attract and retain investment? Right now, Alaskans must realize that our energy situation is dire, and any opportunity to support new projects that will secure our future and support our ability to raise our families in the land we call home should be strongly considered. Increasing oil production is a top legislative priority for the Anchorage Chamber for this session. We do not support Senate Bill 192, as it does not make significant changes to Alaska's current oil and gas production tax. Thank you.
Thank you. Deantha Crockett.
Thank you. My name is Deantha Crockett. I'm here on behalf of myself. I was born and raised in Alaska in 1982, so I've only been here for 30 years. I don't support SB 192 in this form. I don't think it makes significant changes in investment, and it won't fill the pipeline. We have production decline. It's undeniable, and you guys know this, which is why you're having this hearing. I think we needed to act like yesterday to change the decline. You heard from industry experts earlier today saying that SB 192 will not change investment behavior, and I encourage you to take up and pass something that does. Thank you.
Thank you for the testimony. Marliana Hall.
Hi, good evening. My name is Marliana Hall. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I was born, raised, and have lived in Alaska my entire life. I went to school here, I have a family here, and I have a job here. I was educated in the public schools in Nome and in Eagle River, and I attended and received a bachelor's degree from UAA. Now my son attends our public schools. His current education is subsidized by taxes paid by the oil industry. His future education will be subsidized by his permanent fund dividend, a royalty from oil production. I can only hope that when he is my age and older, his housing, food, and lifestyle, including enjoying Alaska's great outdoors, hunting, fishing, and more, is subsidized by a well-paying job in our great state with a healthy economy. Please end progressivity, encourage investment in the future development of Alaska's natural resources. SB 192 doesn't do that. We need to increase investment in Alaska and keep the doors of our locally owned businesses open. I hope you consider the long term over the short term. Thank you again, Chairman and Senators.
Are you done? All right, Joelle Hall.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Joelle Hall. I live in Chugiak. I'm a veteran, a wife, and a mother of two school-aged children. I'm here tonight to thank you. I'm so proud of the Senate for the time they are taking to ask the tough questions and for standing up for what's right. I think everyone here has the same goal, clearly, as you've heard tonight. We all want to have more production and more oil flowing through the pipeline. This hearing is to discuss how best to accomplish that. The governor's idea is to give the oil companies the money and rely on their promises that it will be put back to good use here in the state. But promises are not good enough. Promises are not good enough. Real commitments are what Alaskans deserve. Commitments in writing for jobs and investments. I actually haven't formulated an opinion on 192 yet. I'm amazed there's so many people here with such strong opinions considering there's 18 amendments out and there's not even a complete bill out yet. But I sure appreciate the care and the attention these paid to making sure that the bill that leaves the Senate is a bill that will accomplish the goal we all agree on, increasing production. I'm confident your version will accomplish the goal while respecting your obligations to the citizens of Alaska who own the oil. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you very much. We now go to Katie Capozzi.
Hi, good evening. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I'm testifying tonight on behalf of myself as a concerned young Alaskan. I'm opposed to SB 192 and the committee substitute. I don't think it is enough to incent the type of investment needed to not only stem the accelerated decline of oil in the pipeline, but more importantly, it doesn't do enough to encourage new production. Having just purchased my first home last week, I have a very real concern that 10 or 15 years from now, I might be regretting that investment. According to the Department of Revenue, half of the state's revenue stream will depend on oil industry investments that have yet to be made. Under ACES and under this committee substitute, Alaska is not competitive, and those investments that Alaskans rely and are dependent on are happening in a lot of other places, just not in Alaska. Our loss is their gain. Now is not the time to introduce tweaks to the tax system. It's time to craft or support legislation that actually moves the needle. I ask you to be more aggressive in your efforts to ensure the state's future economic health. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to give testimony tonight, and I appreciate your service to the state.
Thank you. Catherine Hicks. And we may be, people have been trying to call in, but maybe they're receiving a misinformation that it's closed. But is there a Catherine Hicks available? From Anchorage LIO.
No, Catherine's not here.
Catherine is not there? All right, Lynette Marino-Hines at Anchorage LIO. Lynette Marino-Hines.
Yes, sorry, I'm here.
Please provide.
Thank you to the House, Senate, Chairman, legislators. I am testifying for myself. My name is Lynette Marino-Hines. I was born in Sitka, Alaska, before the statehood, and I have lived in Anchorage since 1969. I am a 33-year-plus Anchorage cab driver, and I ran for the primary for 2010 Lieutenant Governor. I am a lifelong Democrat. I'm testifying that my stand, I do not support the Senate Bill 192. I'm also against the House Bill 110. Why didn't we get more money on the five-year cycle with the permanent fund? Because I listened to the news and they said that a topic came up about how we were supposed to get more money when the barrel of oil was very, very high. And when the permanent fund came out, I was told it runs on a five-year cycle. So I'm wondering where the money went, because I think we were owed more money as residents. This morning, driving a cab, actually driving my own car, I gassed up at a local gas station at 4:48 a.m. It was $3.99 for a gallon of gas. And then I went by that same station at 9 a.m., and it rose to 4.09. I know that the world tension is very high because of the Mideast and Europe, their financial crisis. I protested the high cost of gasoline in 2009, January through March, when it got 30 below, a very small crowd. But I'm asking the state officials to do their fiduciary duties and protect Alaska state residents. It's like this. The taxi cab permit owners, they always go to the Transportation Commission Board and they say, we're poor, we have no money, all the costs are high. The cab drivers have no benefits. And when the meter was raised, about 6 years ago, as soon as the meter was raised, the owners raised our leases.
Ms. Hines?
And I fought.
The Barbara Winkley, Anchorage LIO. Is there a Barbara Winkley at the Anchorage LIO?
Yeah, Barbara's coming to the mic. Please stand by.
Okay, would you please state your name and affiliation and present your testimony?
Go
ahead.
Chairman Pascavan and committee members, my name is Barbara Winkley, and I'm a 45-year resident of the state, and I would urge the legislature to put any surplus oil revenues into a non-touchable fund, as Norway has. There will not be a second chance for the state to conserve our nest egg and operate off the interest. Regardless of what the oil corporations say, the state's own figures show employment is up. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara Winkley. Is there anyone here locally that would like to testify that has not signed up? Seeing none, is there anyone at Anchorage LIO? I do not believe there is. Looking at, is there anyone else? So we've reached the end of the evening for the first day of public testimony. So we will, given that, adjourn Senate Resources public testimony for this February 28, 2012. Regular meeting at 3:30, and then public testimony again at 6 p.m. And I believe we may be back at our original meeting room. But so with that, Senate Resources adjourned.